Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're talking about learning how to deal with regret, that sorrow that we feel when something doesn't turn out the way we had hoped, when we make a decision and it ends up in a situation that isn't good and that can't be undone. We feel regret, and we're talking about how to deal with regret. I'd like to repeat everything I've already said because it all fits together. But here's a main point we've made up to today. When we're looking at a situation that has resulted from decisions we've made, either just a poor choice or what we thought was a good choice, but it didn't turn out like we expected at all, it's natural to feel regret and then morph over into the if only game. If only I hadn't have done this. If only I had done that. It wouldn't be this way. But the first step to dealing with regret is recognizing the if only game and realizing it's not profitable at all. In fact, it's actually counterproductive. When we make a decision that doesn't turn out as we hoped, it's easy to get caught up in the if-only game. The problem is, what's done is done. You can't undo it. All you can do is deal with the situation as it is, not as it should have been. Here's the first key to dealing with regret. Quit trying to deal with the situation as it should have been, what should have happened, what choices should have been made, and deal with it as it is. That's where God's help is. God is a very present help in time of need. The past can't be undone, but there is help in the present moment. And we're looking at an example of that. David, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, when he's on the run from Saul, led a band of 600 supporters plus their wives and children to Philistine territory, where they lived in a town called Ziklag for about a year. While David and his men were away from the town on a mission, a local tribe raided the town, burned it to the ground, and carried off all the women and children. David and the men get back to a burned out home, and all their loved ones are gone. 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 4 says they wept until they could weep no more. And then we're told David himself was greatly distressed, verse 6, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved or bitter. That's what that word means. Every man for his sons and for his daughters. They began to talk about stoning David because their grief turned into anger, which turned into revenge. And they turned on David. It's natural when something bad happens to look for someone to blame. But sometimes there's no one to blame. It's just life and it's in cursed earth. But then we flip over into the, if only we hadn't followed David. If only we hadn't left to go on that mission. If only we'd have got back a day earlier. That's trying to undo what can't be undone. But David, we're told, verse 6, encouraged himself in the Lord. David dealt with it not as it should have been, but as it is, by encouraging himself in the Lord. In the face of all these emotions, stimulated by a very grave situation, David fastened himself on God and his word. That word there, David encouraged himself, means to fasten upon, to seize, to be strong. He laid hold of the Lord his God. Now, it's the same word that's translated be strong over in Joshua chapter 1, when God set Joshua over the Israelites in Moses' place and charged him with leading difficult people into the land of Canaan to possess it, God told him three specific times, be strong. or fasten yourself to me. And then God gave him specific facts on which to fasten himself. I'll be with you like I was with Moses. I was with him as the great I am. I will not leave you, and I will be with you wherever you go. Then God told him, focus on my word. Verse 8, the law thou hast in writing must govern every utterance of yours. By that time, by the time of Joshua, the first five books of the Bible had been written. God gave Joshua specific instructions in an emotionally difficult situation and a circumstantially difficult situation. Fasten on my word, be strong by fastening on my word. Well, David would have known this incident here. Joshua fastened on the word of God, and you read through the book of Joshua, and he was victorious. He did what he was charged by God to do. Now, back to David here, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. The New American Bible, I like the way it translates, David encouraged himself in the Lord. It says, but with renewed trust in the Lord his God. In other words, David encouraged himself or strengthened himself by renewing his trust in the Lord. Trust is the Old Testament counterpart for the New Testament word faith. You don't find the word faith in the Old Testament just a couple times. What you see is the word trust. Faith or trust and confidence in God comes from God's word because it reveals God to us, both his character, what he's like, and his works, what he does. We know from David's Psalms that he was a master at doing this. When he was in fear and distress, he put his attention on God's word. A few weeks ago, we talked about dealing with fear, and we looked at some of the things he did, Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. This was a psalm written while he was running from Saul. He wrote, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise his word. He said, when I'm afraid, I praise God's word. And we pointed out that that word praise comes from a word that means to shine or shout, to command, to boast. When emotions were raging, David rejoiced in hope by proclaiming or boasting who God is and what he has done. And he was strengthened by it. He was encouraged by it. Well, that's what David did here in the face of this disaster at Ziklag. Now, before we tell you how Ziklag turned out, let me run over to Psalm 42 real quickly, because it gives us additional insight into how David handled his emotions in these kinds of situations. David couldn't go into the presence of the Lord in the tabernacle at Jerusalem while he was on the run, and he was experiencing emotions that go with not being where he longed to be. Let me read verses 1 through 4. As the hart pants after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before the Lord? That's a reference there. When will I be able to go back to Jerusalem and appear before the Lord in his tabernacle? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them up to the house of God with the voices of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept thy holy day. I mean, he is very sad. He's devastated about this. He's remembering when I used to go on the holy days up to the tabernacle, singing and praising with everybody to meet with your presence in the tabernacle. Now, listen to verse 5. So he's really, truly sad, okay, over something that really has happened, a regretful circumstance. But he says, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Note, David talked to himself. Harrison's translation says, why are you despondent, my soul, and why are you so agitated? Hope in, or wait expectantly for God, for I shall praise him again. See, David here is engaging in what we call self-talk. We all talk to ourselves all the time. That's what meditation is all about, biblical meditation. To meditate, when God told Joshua in chapter 1, Joshua 1:8, This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That word literally means to mutter. When you meditate, you mutter, or you ponder, you think about, you talk to yourself. Here's how most of us meditate. This is horrible. What am I going to do? How could God have let this happen? I shouldn't have been so stupid. Why should I should have seen this coming. Oh my Lord, I'll never make it through. That's meditation. That's thinking about and talking about. The problem is, you're not supposed to do that. As a Christian, that's the worst thing you can do. I know you feel that way. I totally understand. But meditation, like God told Joshua to, is to talk about me, God. What I have done, will do. What I am doing, what I will do, what I have done. Remember my past help. Remember my present provision. Remember my future promises. Remember how big I am. This is not bigger than me. See, this trait of self-talk works for us or against us. It builds us up or down. It strengthens us or weakens us. Well, in the face of circumstances and emotions, David encouraged himself. He's basically saying self, emotions, hope, or expect God's help. This is a temporary separation, or a temporary situation. I'll get back to the tabernacle. Now, dealing with emotions can be a real battle. We see it in this psalm. I don't have time to read the whole psalm. You can go look at it yourself, Psalm 42. But we see David's emotions would rise up. You know, he'd go back to, oh, I'm separated from God. I'm cast down. What am I going to do? Then he'd get himself together. He'd have to encourage himself in the Lord again. Oh, my God, my life is cast down upon me, and I find these burdens more than I can bear. I'm depressed. I'm sunk in misery. But then he goes on to say, therefore, I will remember you and your past help. You've helped me in the past. You'll help me in the future. Sorrow overwhelms me at times, but I will remember your goodness. When I feel forgotten and overwhelmed, I will remind myself of the hope I have in you. See, emotions, it's a battle. I have the same battle you have, but it's worth the effort. God's written word is his record of his promises, and it's filled with examples of real help given to real people in real trouble, and these examples are written to encourage us. See, David had a lot of examples available to him with which to encourage himself at Ziklag. He had two outstanding examples of people whose loved ones were kidnapped. Abraham's nephew Lot was kidnapped. And then Jacob's son Joseph was kidnapped by his own brothers, and both situations turned out right. And David could encourage himself with the word of God. God's going to help me here. More tomorrow.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison, at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.